Let's move on and look at the question of expansion into new federal territories and how it became an especially aggravating question. The South was aware of the fact, obviously, that the North was outstripping it in population. The House of Representatives, clearly dominated by the North well before the Civil War, because, as you know, that's representation based on population there. The Senate was something the South tried to maintain parity, and we'll talk about more about that in just a minute. But because the South knew the North was outstripping it in population, the white Southerners believed it was necessary on their part to do anything possible to try to erect safeguards to their social system and the ability of their social system to expand. In other words, the ability of slavery to expand. And one of the ways to do that was to try to keep parity in the Senate, as I said. Now, the North is equally aware of its preponderance of population. It believed, since there were more people in the North should have more clout in the United States. There are more of us. Why should we not be able to do what we want to do if we outnumber, and increasingly outnumber, the South? White Southerners felt that the peculiar institution, as they called slavery, had to go into new federal territories or their economy would stagnate. They'd be caught in a situation where slavery was boxed in, slave populations would grow in that area, and it would be a problem potentially not only socially, but also economically. Northerners, on the other hand, increasingly came to call for territories being reserved for free men only who would work their own farms. The free soil movement that gained strength through the 1840s and 1850s argued for this. Reserve the western territories for free men. Many of these Northerners calling for free soil in the West, I will emphasize, couldn't care less about the black people who were caught in slavery. They wanted free soil for white men in the West. They didn't want free soil for black freed slaves in the West. They wanted the territories reserved for white men. So this was an issue, whether or not slavery would be allowed to expand into the territories, that became a greater and greater and greater area of dispute between the sections as we go toward 1860. And of course, it was a problem because the United States was acquiring more and more land as we go toward 1860. Let's shift now to some of the key mileposts along the road of sectional friction. Now, most of these, I suspect, are very familiar to you, but we'll go through some of the more important ones just to have them fresh in your minds. And again, I don't want to convey by going through this list of sectional tensions that there was a sense beginning in 1820 or so that we're pointing toward an inevitable civil war. All of these things are just leading to a point where we're going to be killing each other. Most people did not believe that. Some would argue that, but that isn't the main thing on everybody's mind. Nonetheless, these things occurred, and they upped the level of tensions, and they made more possible an explosion at some point. Let's start in 1820 with the Missouri Compromise. It restricted slavery in the old Louisiana Purchase country to land below the 36-30 line. It allowed Missouri to come in as a slave state, and Missouri would be balanced by Maine very shortly thereafter coming in as a free state. Until 1850, free states and slave states would alternate coming into the Union, which preserved the balance of power in the Senate. So for 30 years after the Missouri Compromise, you'll have states essentially coming in pairs in the United States, one slave and one free. 1831, two major events. The first was the most important slave rebellion in United States history, Nat Turner's insurrection or rebellion in Southside, Virginia, where Nat Turner, a black preacher, and a handful of followers rose up and killed several dozen white people, hacked some of them to death, killed others. It sent an enormous shock across the white South. This is, of course, a great Southern nightmare, slaves rising up and slaughtering masters. That same year, 1831, William Lloyd Garrison began publication of The Liberator, which would become the most famous abolitionist newspaper. That also set off alarms in the South. Here's somebody publishing a newspaper getting a lot of attention, saying all of our slave property should be swept away.